All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I am convinced that our country needs a name change. A couple hundred years ago, our forefathers, in their wisdom, rightly called this country the United States of America. 13 colonies, which would be the equivalent of the states, that were united together to form a singular country. It's not the case anymore. We have 50 states now. But we don't seem to be very united. We have a lot of things that are causing division within our land. And it doesn't look like there's going to be much that can solve the problem. I think if we want to accurately describe who we are, we should drop the United. Just call ourselves the States of America. It's sad that this division exists. It's sad that there are things within racial or ethnic controversies that cause a division of people. It's sad that our political system is so divided that nobody can work with anybody else anymore. It seems we have factions, even within the singular parties, within the Republican Party and within the Democratic Party, you have the conservative Republicans and the liberal Republicans and the conservative Democrats and the liberal Democrats, and they fight within themselves, and the parties fight within against each other. And Ben Franklin, I believe it was, who basically cited the Lord Jesus Christ, said that a country that is divided against itself cannot stand. And I wonder where this country is going. It's sad. It hurts my soul that that's the case, but that is the case. It's even sadder when there are divisions within a church ministry. Because if anyone should be united, it should be a church ministry. There shouldn't be any divisive things. Now, there are different ways of doing things and different likes and so forth. But there should be a harmony within the people of God. Unfortunately, at times, that's not the case. The church at Corinth, Paul said there are factions there. Some of you say you're of Paul, and some say you're of Apollos, and some say you're of Peter, and so on and so forth. And you got this faction going against the other faction. When both Paul and Peter and Apollos were united together in their desire to serve the Lord. And yet this body was broken up in divisions. In Philippi, the same condition existed there, only probably it wasn't quite as great a division. It looks to be that there might only be two people, two women, one by the name of Euodias and the other by the name of Syntyche. For whatever reason, whatever the problem was, they just couldn't get along with each other. And Paul is writing to the Philippians and encouraging them to get things straightened out because within the body of Christ, there should be this unity. In the three verses that are here, I find five things that are essential for unity. And if you, as we go through these five things, you'll see all five of them are missing within our country today. It would be the solution to the problem. I don't know that our country is ever going to get there, though, with it. But let's look at what Paul writes. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He is writing to those he calls his brethren, those who are within the family of God that he would call brothers and or sisters in this case for the women. Just using the masculine term there as an all-inclusive term, which in the Greek language, if you have both male and female, usually just identify it by the male. Nonetheless, he calls them his brethren, those that are rightly related to him by faith in Jesus Christ. And the first description that he gives here is that they are dearly beloved. He gives a couple of more descriptions and he closes by saying, my dearly beloved. He begins and ends with the fact that these people are dearly beloved, both to God and consequently to Paul. Now, in between, he also calls them those that he longs for. He's separated from that. He says, I wish I could be there with you. Those who make up my joy. And I'm sure there were some within that church, and probably Euodius and Syntyche were two of them, who may have caused a gray hair or two on the apostle's head. That not every activity that, or deed that they did necessarily brought them joy, but they themselves brought the apostle joy. In fact, made up his crown that he would one day cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Necessary ingredient for common or for unity is a common standing in the importance of personhood. Every single one of these people, Paul says, I'm calling you dearly beloved. Do you know why? Because every believer in Christ is dearly beloved. Let me ask you a question. Within the body of Christ, is there one believer that is loved more or less by God? The fact of the matter is, God loves each and every single one of us equally. That's hard to comprehend. That's not how we love people. I have a very special love for my wife. That's normal. That's right. There should be. I have a very special love for my children and for my mother. I have a very special love for my grandchildren, their family. I have a love even for you guys. It's not the same. I don't have the same obligations to you that I have to the others because you are not physical family. I have obligations to the rest because they are family. But nonetheless, we love oftentimes people because how they love back. Or because they have done something for us or to us that we deem either appropriate and beneficial or inappropriate and not beneficial. Therefore, we don't love them as much. Think about you and I as human beings. How many of us are absolutely perfect? And yet God loves us. So loves us that he sent his son to die for us. Never stops loving us. What can separate us from the love of God? Paul asked the question, and the answer is nada. Nothing. Zilch. He loves us because he is love. Not because one is better than another, either intrinsically or experientially, but because he loves us just in spite of the way we are. If we would ever recognize in our country and our world today that every person is deserving of the same type of love, regardless of what they do. Now, I'm not saying anything about administering justice for acts. That's a different category. But if we would love people the way God loves us, the racial or ethnic barriers would fall completely. My dearly beloved, he calls them. Verse 2, I beseech Euodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Two things I see there. First of all, the first one is this. In order to have unity, you must have a common standard of right and wrong. I want them to have the same mind in the Lord. There has to be a standard that says this is right, this is wrong. If everyone is doing their own thing, you've got problems. Isn't that how the book of Judges ends? There was no king in the land in those days, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it was probably one of the darkest times in Israel's history. What's the thing today? Well, you got to do your own thing. And if you don't like the thing that somebody else is doing, you can respond to it however you want to respond to it. And even if it's not socially acceptable, if it's right in your eyes, do it. I don't want to get into the political side of this very much, but you have one action by a police officer that more than likely, I don't know all the details, but it seems more than likely what he did was wrong. It doesn't seem to be too much controversy about that. So consequently, people go out and say, well, what he did was wrong. Therefore, we're going to go out and we're going to loot and we're going to steal and we're going to pillage and we're going to even take people's lives. And somehow we've forgotten that old adage, two wrongs don't make a right. But in this case, it's not wrong. We're doing what's right in our own eyes. Do you realize we have a standard? Right there. There is a standard for each and every one of us. And the standard for me is no different than the standard for Jack, which is no different than the standard for Rosemary, which is no different than the standard for Blair or anyone else here tonight. We live by the same rules. We are expected to do the same thing. And when we recognize that we are responsible for the same things, we can find some unity in what we do is right and wrong. But without that standard, everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. The second thing I see in this verse is this. There also must be a common commitment to that standard. Look again at the verse. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. Doesn't say that they necessarily have the same mind, although that's included, but they be of the same mind. In other words, not only do you have to think what is right and wrong in a universal sense, you have to be committed to doing what is right and wrong. Well, not doing what is wrong. I want you to be a person who is doing the right things. Well, I was thinking of you this afternoon, Jack, as I was going over this message. Roy's not here tonight, so we'll pick on him. Because a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, he mercilessly picked on you because you have a drinking problem. Over and over and over again, poor Jack was picked on, supposedly having a drinking problem. Let's say that's true. It's not, but let's pretend that it is for just a moment. You're not going to like that, are you? You're living with an alcoholic. And Lois, you don't do that stuff, do you? And consequently, how affectionate are you going to be of your husband? Because he's doing the wrong things. And then we say, well, why doesn't he live by my standards? How well do you live by your standards? I'm not saying that we shouldn't confront when a brother is overtaken in a fault. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. But remember, there are going to be times when we need to be restored too. We need to be committed to being doers of the truth, not just having the truth, not just understanding the truth. And when we don't have that commitment to do what is right, everyone then will do what is right in their own eyes. And then we get into problems. Verse 4, or 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, who is not named here, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Apparently, these two women were involved in the ministry of the Apostle Paul at one point in time. Now, you remember the church in Philippi was started when he came to Philippi, and there were a bunch of women who had gone outside the city for a prayer meeting. That's where he made his first impact and led Lydia to the Lord there. Later on, they were going out for prayer. I take it these same women were involved in that. And maybe Syntyche and Euodias were two of those women. They came to faith in Christ, maybe there. Can't say that for certain, but it seems to be that is plausible. And they became involved in the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the founding of the church of Philippi. And they were working together. And there you have it. There's the fourth thing. In order to have unity, you must have a common commitment to a common goal. They were working together, apparently, laboring with Paul in the gospel. There are various ministries within the church. There are various gifts that God has given each of us to accomplish those various ministries within the church. But when it's all said and done, it's the ministry of the proclamation of the gospel that God wants us to do. How you do that, in what manner you do that, in what emphasis you do that, is part of God's individual leading in your life. But the fact of the matter is, there's no different goal for any of us than the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, understand that the gospel is not just simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the part that brings salvation. But Jesus said in the Great Commission, I want you to go out, and I want you to make disciples of all people, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's the evangelistic aspect, and there's the edification aspect of preaching the gospel. But it's all a common goal. These two women were working together. Something came up between them. And now no work at all was going on apparently with them. And he's entreating somebody else, somebody who is yoked together with him. In other words, putting their energies to the same task that Paul was, even though Paul was in prison in Rome. Here's a person who was still involved in the gospel ministry, and he says, I want you to help these women. I want you to get them back on the track. Of course, you never tire in the work of the Lord, do you? Every day that you wake up, you say, oh, it's a beautiful day to serve the Lord. I can't wait to get at it. And after 30 years of getting at it, you say, I'm just as fresh today as I was yesterday. There's never a time you get discouraged in the things of the Lord, is there? Ron and I were talking just before service tonight, and he told me, how many, Ron, 70-something were here this morning? 70-something were here this morning. He said, that's getting better. And I'm going, yeah, that is a little bit better than it was last week. But at this point in time, we should be around 120 here in the morning. That's discouraging. Ron's out there trying to encourage me. You never get discouraged, do you? You never get discouraged when you're sharing the gospel with somebody and you really pour your heart into a gospel presentation and they turn you down flat. And you just say to yourself, well, that's their tough luck. Now you get discouraged. Sometimes you need somebody to come along and encourage you. And when they do, they get you back on the right track, as this yoke fellow would get Euodias and Syntyche back on the right track, and they're working toward a common goal. But then he says this in the end of verse 3. and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In order to accomplish that, there must be a common enablement to accomplish that goal. You and I cannot do the things of God, the work of God, on our own, unless the Spirit is energizing us, moving through us, empowering us, unless we are using the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If we try to, in our own wisdom, change the hearts and minds of men, we'll utterly fail. But when the Word of God is presented, and people come to faith in Christ, which is the only way a person can come to faith in Christ, is by a presentation of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And now they're brought together in that common bond for a common goal. And the Scripture tells us, for by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body. That Spirit puts us into the body of Christ. That Spirit Himself is indwelling our own bodies, each and every one of us, so that we can be led by the Spirit, we can understand through the Spirit, we can accomplish by the power of the Spirit, and we start working together. Five different things. An equal standing. Brother Jim Wednesday night quoted my mentor at ABC, Dr. Ryder, who had a saying that he repeated oftentimes, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. No one's better off than anybody else. A common standing, a common standard, the Word of God, a common commitment to that standard. We will do what the will of God would have us to do, a common commitment to that goal of evangelizing, of proclaiming the Word of God, a common enablement. And where you find those five things, you find unity. And all five of those are missing by and large in our country today. Until we finally get back to what not too actually long ago happened. In the Pledge of Allegiance, we added the word one nation under God. And too many people today want to say, we need to get rid of that statement. President Obama, when he was in office, said, this is not a Christian nation. People said, how dare he say something like that? I think he was right. We were founded upon Christian principles, but we strayed so far from them. And consequently, we no longer have that unity that once existed. And if this church ministry ever strays from those things, that will probably lock the doors, because we'll all be doing our own thing, and we won't be meeting here. God help us to be committed to these things. Let's pray. Father, Scripture doesn't tell us whatever happened with Euodius and Syntyche. I trust they got back together. I trust they got their problems worked out. I trust that whoever this yoke fellow was that came along and helped them, that they restored the unity that existed at one time between them, and the church got on with its ministry. And Lord, I pray that within this ministry here, while we'll have different ideas about things to do and that type of thing, may we all be unified in our commitment to live by a standard of the Word of God, to accomplish the common goal of the proclamation of the Word of God, that will be dependent upon the Spirit of God to accomplish those things. May we not see one as better or worse than ourselves, but may we truly find that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And may we stand as one for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. whose name we pray tonight. Amen. Have a good week.